Misanthrope Radio. I fucking hate Corky. You don't know who Corky is. Why would you? Corky is a guy who is rapidly becoming my arch nemesis. if it's possible to have an arch nemesis who is a piece of shit convenience store worker. Not that all convenience store workers are pieces of shit. Let me qualify that a little bit. But this guy's a piece of shit. He's a standard issue fucking best job he can get as a cashier at a fucking gas station shitbag. And I can't fucking stand him. And it's not his job. It's not even really his appearance, although his appearance is a symptom of the larger problem of who Corky is at his fucking core. First of all, in fairness, I think it is important to note that his name may or may not actually be Corky. I don't know, because he's so unprofessional and he's such a fucking bad employee, he can't even be relied upon to wear a fucking name tag. Okay? Corky fucking sucks. So I've named him Corky, and I've actually called him Corky a couple of times, but I'm not sure he's intelligent enough to realize that in me calling him Corky, I am insulting his fucking intelligence. You know who he looks like? Let me just set the fucking stage. Hold on. I'm getting off on a fucking tangent, and I'm not going to properly tell the story. Corky works at a gas station just down the road from my house. It is unfortunately located on my way to the job and on my way back from the job. And Corky works the afternoon / evening shift at the gas station. Now, why do I stop there? If Corky gets on my fucking nerves, you may be asking. Obviously, Corky's on my nerves without any backstory other than what I've given you. You know that I fucking don't like Corky. A first clue might be when I fucking let off this bit by saying I hate Corky. So why do I stop there? Well, it's conveniently located. It's a convenience store. After all, it's a fucking gas station. That's the point of it, is to be strategically placed to where it is more of an inconvenience for you to not stop there. Well, good job, Casey's. You fucking hit the nail on the head. I cannot possibly drive to my house from my job without driving by that store, and it's just too conveniently located to not stop in. The afternoon / evening shift happens to be staffed by the absolute dregs of fucking local society. As you may imagine, the decent convenience store workers work the day shift. The ones who are presentable, affable, friendly. The ones who you can reasonably rely upon to return your credit card to you if you were to be absent-minded enough to accidentally leave it there. Those people work during the day. The night shift at the local fucking gas station, not so much. The night shift is staffed with the best of whomever they can fucking get. See where I'm going with this? Corky is their ringleader. Corky is a stereotypical, standard issue, fucking early 40s, down on his luck, slovenly fucking pockmarked face, piece of shit motherfucker. Credit score of 5 fucking 12, lives with his mom because he just got out of the fucking can, walks to work unless he finds a fucking bicycle to steal from someone, teetering on the edge of mental retardation. Okay, let me qualify that statement real quick. In the abstract, I don't have a problem with people of low IQ. Why would I? The world needs ditch diggers and Jiffy Lube fucking techs. Right? The world needs gas station attendants. The world needs the guy who fucking does the landscaping and washes the fucking parking lot at McDonald's. The world needs those people. I don't have any problem with low IQ people. However, low IQ people who are also assholes, they fucking bother me. And Corky is an asshole. He may be the prototypical low IQ asshole. He may be the template that all low IQ assholes strive to become one day. Corky's a fucking dick, and he's dumb. My first altercation with Corky happened after a particularly trying day at the job. I walk in there, I get a text order from the fucking people at the house, will you please pick up this, this, and this on the way. Well, the gas station is conveniently located. Again, good job, Casey's. So I whip in there real quick, and I've got an armload of stuff. I set it down on the counter. Corky is leaning on one elbow with his fucking stupid small carnival worker fucking hand pressed to the side of his pockmarked, sweaty, fucking pasty face. He looks at me with those fucking dead, drug-abusing eyes and just starts scanning. No greeting, nothing. Which, again, I'm about. Don't hit me with your small talk. Fuck you and your small talk. But this is where Corky and I ran into problems. I had like 17 items. I don't know if it was that many. I had like legitimately 9 items. And I looked at him and I was like, hey man, can I get that in a bag? And he just looked at me and rolled his fucking eyes like I had just asked him to build the Great Wall. Well, that particular day, I had had enough of conforming to societal norms, and I looked at fucking Corky right in his dishonest fucking pissy eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Is bagging shit up outside of your job description? Should I just fuck off and do it myself? And he just looked at me startled, stunned. No one had ever bothered to push back on Corky's fucking passive cuntiness like this. You could tell. It's like somebody had slapped him in the face. And I said, well, never mind, Corky. I'll bag the shit up myself. And he starts putting the stuff in the bag. And I said, you know, bro, if you don't like your job, there's probably other jobs you can get. Your job is literally to check stuff out, make sure the cigarettes are stocked, and put shit in bags. And then I left. Well, today I went back. Corky was there as usual. I walked in the door. He looked up at me, visibly stiffened, and then went back to doing a piss-poor job at customer service. I ran through the building real quick, got the few items I needed, and then walked up and presented them politely, if silently, to Corky. Corky looked up at me with those fucking dead, might-actually-suck-dick-for-rock eyes and slapped open a plastic bag. That's all it took. I gestured to the hat on top of his head, and I said, Deadpool hat, huh? That checks out. He goes, what do you mean by that? I said, well, it's generally understood that only fucking losers wear Deadpool gear, dude. His mouth just dropped open in shock. He goes, what? And I said, Deadpool fans are 100% of the time losers. Just understand that. You're wearing Deadpool gear. It is advertising to everyone who comes in this store that they're being served by a fucking loser. I'm letting him have it here. I'm really fucking giving it to Corky because I fucking hate Corky. I fucking hate Corky. I fucking hate him. I fucking hate Corky. I hate Corky and everything he fucking stands for. With his fucking pockmarked face and he's missing half of a fucking eyebrow, probably from a fucking motorcycle wreck. That fits the bill. Tattoos on his fucking neck, gnarled ass goddamn fingers, collapsed fucking veins, lackadaisical fucking attitude, look on his face like I should just be happy he fucking showed up to work today. Fucking Corky. Sloppy, slovenly fucking dressed, disgusting fucking gut hanging over the top of his fucking beltless pants. Corky. Standard issue, classic fucking piece of shit. Fuck Corky. I'm really letting him have it today. So, anyway. Oh, fuck, I don't like Corky. So, back to the story. I said that, you know, bit about being a fucking loser if you're wearing Deadpool gear. And I said, now, don't get me wrong, Corky. And he kind of stiffens. And you can tell he's wanting to interject that his name is not Corky. I can't stress that enough. I don't know if his fucking name is Corky or not, but in my mind, that's what I've named him, Corky. You know who he looks like? You know who he looks like? Pause the fucking story. Light bulb. Corky looks like this guy.
Just watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
Corky looks like this guy from Star Wars Episode 4 in the cantina scene. That is almost exactly what Corky looks like. That is Corky. Holy shit, that may actually be Corky's dad. Anyway, just to put a vision in your mind, this guy from Star Wars Episode 4 in the cantina scene,
I have the death sentence on 12 systems,
is the spitting image of Corky, or I guess I should say that Corky is the spitting image of the guy from Star Wars. Okay, reining it back in here. I said all that shit about, you know, being a loser if you're wearing Deadpool gear. And then I called him Corky, and he opened his mouth to... I could tell he was opening his mouth to tell me his real name. I don't want to fucking know your name, Corky. I'm perfectly happy with thinking that your name is Corky in my fucking mind for the rest of my life. Corky, I don't want you to get it fucked up. You're not a loser because you wear Deadpool gear. No, taking off the Deadpool gear is not going to make you less of a loser. What I'm saying is that you're a loser, so of course you have some Deadpool gear. Okay, are we done here? And then I grabbed my shit and I walked out the door. Well, fast forward to me being in the parking lot, and I am there putting antifreeze in my aging and not very mechanically sound pickup truck. And I hear an excuse me behind me, and I turn around, and it's Corky, and he's there with a trash bag. Could have just as easily been a shotgun. By the way, I don't want you to think that that was lost on me. He's there with a trash bag, and he's getting ready to change the trash out by the gas pumps. And he goes, excuse me. I turn around. I was like, what's up, man? He goes, I got to say, I think you and I have gotten off on the wrong foot. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. So I set down my antifreeze and started to listen to Corky. He goes, I hate this fucking job. I hate it. He goes, but part of my deal with the government is I have to hold a job down, a specific job that they got me for a specific number of months until I'm free to pursue my own profession. I'm a concrete worker by trade. That's what I do. I have to hold this job for another 6 months. And I know my attitude's bad. And a lot of times, the time of day you come in, I've just had it with everyone and everything. And I'm in a really bad mood, and I take it out on the customers. And I was dumbfounded. I just stood there and looked at him, shocked, thinking about all the times I had verbally abused Corky and used my size to maybe physically intimidate him a little bit. I thought about all the times that I didn't have to say the shitty thing to Corky, but I did anyway. And then that got me thinking about how much I fucking hate sassy fat white women, but when it comes to Corky, I do the fucking same thing that they do. I treated Corky like shit just because I had an idea built up in my mind of who he was, and I guess I thought I was better than him. That's not what I do. I'm not one of those people who just automatically assumes based on someone's appearance or demeanor in a moment, in a snippet of time, that I am better than that person and can therefore treat them like shit. I've always prided myself on being kind to everyone, whether they fucking deserve it or not. But for some fucking reason, Corky didn't make the cut. And here he is standing in front of me, pouring out his soul, telling me all the shit that he's been through in his life and how the fucking cards are stacked against him. And yes, he was hooked on fucking meth for a while. And it took him going to prison to fucking get clean. And he's never going to go down that road again. And he's got a wife and a family. And he's really trying to turn his shit around. And he's really fucking pouring himself out in the parking lot of that gas station, trying to find common ground with me. And I feel bad. Like, I feel fucking bad. Legitimately feel like shit about the way that I have fucking talked down to and degraded Corky for the better part of 2 years. Maybe not quite 2 years. Probably a year. The better part of a year. Every time I walk in that gas station from the first interaction with Corky where he slapped open the fucking plastic bag after rolling his eyes. Ever since then, I always have something fucked up to say to Corky. So he's standing there and he's really just gushing, like literally pouring out his fucking soul, talking to me about his hopes and dreams and what he wanted to do when he got off of this parole and how he was going to start his own contracting firm and work concrete for all the big companies and how he's got a group of guys that he thinks are going to come to work for him. And he's really moving in a positive direction. He hasn't had any desire to do methamphetamine in quite a while. He doesn't even drink anymore. The only thing that he allows himself are cigarettes, and he smokes cigarettes the cheapest he can find because he has a family to provide for working at this gas station. And he feels like we got off on the wrong foot. And while he never said that I treated him unfairly, he did say that I'm one of the meanest fucking people he's ever met. And he's sorry that he got on my bad side in a moment of weakness. And I stood there and I took all that in. And I've never seen a grown-ass man really pour out their fucking soul like that to somebody before. Like, it was humbling. It was humbling. The emotions that were going through me, it was crazy. I mean, the guy's eyes were welling up as he was talking to a perfect stranger about all the shit he'd been through in his life and all the self-imposed shit that had happened to him in his life. And he was really pouring his fucking guts out right there on that asphalt fucking parking lot underneath the overhang for the gas pumps, standing next to the trash can that he was supposed to be changing. The emotions I was feeling shame and regret and chastising myself for being just like those fucking sassy fat white women who scream at fucking, you know, grocery store clerks. Like, I literally did the same thing as those fucking giant behemoth fucking wreck shop bitches. So anyway, after his monologue and we're standing there, there's a brief moment of silence. He introduces himself as Steve. I introduce myself as Lorenzo. And then he pauses like he's expecting me to literally come forth with the apology for the way I've treated him over the better part of the last year. And I just looked at him and I said, you know, when you first started talking to me, I thought that you were being a pussy. But then as you kept on going, it was confirmed. Your vagina has left a snail trail all over this parking lot. You're probably going to have to clean up. Then I got in my truck and went home. The moral of that story is, don't be a bitch.
Segment 2.
I use YouTube the way most guys use Walmart. You know, if you're ever in a Walmart and you see a guy in there by himself and he's not being dragged around by some fucking broad, typically what you see is a man on a mission. He is there for a specific fucking number of things. He goes and he gets those things and he gets the fuck out. I use YouTube in that exact same way. I'm there for a specific fucking reason. I get what I've came for and then I fucking bail. For example, the last time I was on YouTube, I was looking at oil pan gasket replacement process for my 1994 F-150. As it turns out, step number one is remove a motor mount. Okay, well, I'm out on that. I'm going to send that to the fucking pros. But that is the example that I use for the way I consume and the way I utilize a resource like YouTube. So I'm not really sure how the fuck I ended up finding affirmations, but I did. Do you know what affirmations are? Listen to this shit. This blows my mind. If you go to YouTube and you punch in affirmations, you are going to be bombarded with videos of people talking over the top of soothing music, much like I'm doing here, except they're not saying hateful shit or they're not just fucking chatting you up. What they're doing is they're giving you hour-long sessions of confidence-boosting shit. It absolutely blew my mind. Like, who would consume this horse shit? But apparently people do, to the tune of 25 to 30 million views on some of these fucking videos. Now, I did the math based on easily Googleable information as to how much revenue a run-of-the-mill affirmation video is going to generate from YouTube ads or views. I don't understand exactly how it works, but based on ad revenue algorithms or some shit, a YouTube video with 10 million views will have earned anywhere between $25,000 and $53,000 fucking dollars over the course of its run on the platform. The fuck? I mean, that's serious money. And some of these people on, there's this one lady in particular, and I'm not going to fucking look it up because I don't care that much, but there's this one lady in particular who has a series of these affirmation type videos. I think her biggest video is 27 million views. The smallest video of hers that I saw had like 8 million views. Jesus fuck, that's a full-time job. That's a full-time job making comfortable fucking money. So I thought to myself, well, fucking I can do this. I don't have an absolutely unpleasant voice. I can fucking sit down and say really nice positive shit to people for 20, 30 minutes at a time. That's what I'm fucking totally going to do it. So that's exactly what I'm going to do here today. Because if you have people sitting out there, because if there are people financing their fucking lifestyle with videos telling suckers and fucking losers how powerful they are, why can't I be one of those assholes? Lorenzo's affirmations. And then when I get done with this, so I'm going to do this bit for the podcast, and then I'm going to take the fucking audio of the affirmation, and I'm literally going to make a YouTube video and put it on YouTube. That's what's going to happen. Lorenzo Reads Affirmations, I think is what it'll be called. Okay, let's give this a shot. Positivity, positivity, positivity. Wait a minute, is this third person or first person? Am I doing this video like I'm saying this shit to me, or am I doing this video like I'm talking about you? Fucking hell. Okay, hang on. See, this is what I'm talking about. Why the fuck am I not more organized? I knew I was going to fucking do this bit today. Why don't I have all my shit in one sock? Let's see. Affirmations. Here we go.
I am excited to start this day.
Oh, here.
I am motivated and ready to achieve my goals.
Okay, so that's it. So it's first person. It's, I will be saying the affirmation and then pausing, trusting that you will then say the affirmation after me, this fucking self-helpy shit. Okay, let's fucking do it. Positivity, positivity, positivity. Good morning, cunt. Fucking... I had to get it off my chest. Okay, now, okay, let's get serious. Good morning, cunt. Oh, fuck, I can't stop being an asshole. Okay, whew. Okay, positivity, being serious, this is not a fucking joke. Here we go. Lorenzo's affirmations. Take two. I have a giant meaty schlong. Okay. So, fuck, I need to listen to more of these affirmations because I'm sitting here and all I can think of is fucking ridiculous shit. Okay, now stop fucking around. We're gonna do this for real now. I am powerful. I am powerful. I am smart enough. I am smart enough. I am good enough. I am good enough. I can do anything I choose. I can be anyone I want. I have the ability to make it happen. Negativity has no hold over me. The negativity of others, or the negativity that I feel within myself. So what if I live in my mom's basement? I can be anything I want to be. So what if I have 4 ingrown toenails? I can run that marathon. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm trying to say. Nothing matters but my own vision. The vision that I have for myself and of myself. It doesn't matter that everyone in the community knows that I pick my nose and eat it while driving. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how I feel about myself. And I'm powerful. God damn it. I'm one of the realest motherfuckers around. So what if my ass smells like sour milk? The vision that I have for my future is clear. So what if babies cry when they see my grotesque form and my giant sausage fingers reaching towards them to give them a coochie coochie coo? I know that I will have a family of my own someday, and my children will not cry when they see me. I am fucking powerful. I am enough. So what if I'm so fucking fat and unsightly that people refer to me as Pizza the Hut? So what if, historically speaking, everything I touch turns to shit? So what if I have a credit score of 434? I know that I'm going to own skyscrapers someday, because I have the ability and the motivation and the drive and the talent to become a real estate magnate if I so choose. So what if I've been unemployed since the last Blockbuster closed down? I know that I am employable, regardless of how many fucking tattoos I have on my neck. So what if I've never gotten pussy for free? I know that I could attract any woman I want with my sheer personal magnetism. I know that because I am fucking powerful. So what if I shart weekly? So what if I'm incontinent? So what if I have a gland issue that makes me smell like salami? The people who don't like me weren't worth my time anyway, because I'm powerful. Mom says I'm a catch. So what if I don't make it to the bathroom on time? I keep trying, don't I? Don't I wake up in the night and keep trying? I'm a modern success story. As long as I quit drinking Kool-Aid by 8 p.m., I won't pee the bed. And one day, I'll never pee the bed again, because I am fucking powerful. I'm the real deal. You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, jet-flying, kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time keeping these alligators down. All the women want to come ride Space Mountain, including that fat one right there. Because I kiss all the girls and make them all cry. I'm so fucking powerful. I'm so fucking needed. I am enough. I am not too much. I can be anything I want to be. I have the ability to rise to new heights previously unknown by humanity. So what if I have boils on my back? None of that matters. What matters is my vision, my sense of power, my sense of well-being, and my confidence in knowing where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. Even though I don't know how I'm going to get there. I've been working at a gas station and recently got fired because they accused me of stealing beef jerky. So what if all I care about is Pokemon right now? So what if I've been known to suck dick behind the Little Caesars to get the pizza they're going to throw away? A man's got to fucking eat, but it's not always going to be this way. I know that. Because I have confidence in myself and my own abilities. I'm going to be somebody. There's nothing I cannot do except manual labor. I can't do manual labor. Oh, and I can't work more than 6 hours a day. That's just too much. Oh, and I can't really walk that far. Oh, and I can't stand to have lunch that isn't SpaghettiOs. Oh, and I can only work between the hours of noon and 6 p.m. because I'm really not trying to wake up early, and if I work too late in the day, I'll miss all my programs. Oh, and I can't work Saturdays, because that's when I play Fortnite with all my online friends. Oh, and I can't work Sunday because I have church. I don't really go, but I have it. And I remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one of the commandments. But I can fucking do anything that I want to do, and I can be successful. There's no limit to my potential, and there's no heights that I can't rise to if I'm only given an opportunity to show exactly what I can do. Like, I can have one of those office jobs. I can have one of those jobs where you sit around and think. Except I have to have at least 45 minutes during a workday to kind of decompress. Oh, and I don't like it when people tell me what to do. I can't function in that environment. But if you need a captain of industry, I'm your guy. I have the ability, the wherewithal, and dare I say it, the moxie. I have the moxie to be a captain of industry. As long as you don't ever tell me what to do. I just can't. I can't deal with that. And I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to deal with it because I'm fucking powerful, okay? I'm powerful, and I am a fucking winner. I'm a winner. Mom says I'm a catch. I'm going to say it again. Mom says I'm a fucking catch. She knows. My mom knows. My fourth dad believed in me too, okay? The fifth one, not so much. The sixth one, the jury's still fucking out on that. But the fourth one thought I was just as powerful as anyone else. And he believed in me too. His name was Eric. And Eric knows people. He knows people inside and out. He's been the most successful tech at the fucking Jiffy Lube for 15 years. Eric knows. So I'm powerful, and I can do anything, except don't ask me to check email. I don't know what it is. Email fucking confuses me. If you need me, you call me or shoot me a text, and I will be powerful as fuck on the text or on phone calls. But emails, I can't ever find emails when people send them to me. It's the way that they get categorized and stacked. I can't fucking figure it out. But if I really wanted to, I could fucking figure it out. Don't get that fucked up. I could figure out email if I needed to because I'm fucking smart. Make this part of your every day, either in the morning for 20 minutes a day, or listen to me when you go to sleep, and I will give you all the affirmation you can handle and all the affirmation you need to grow into the person that you can be. Join me again soon for more Lorenzo Reed's Affirmations. And there we go. I finally got through it. Lorenzo's Affirmations. Be looking for it to pop up on YouTube. I'm going to slap some fucking video on it and post it to YouTube just as soon as I can. And I will be anxiously awaiting all of that fucking ad revenue to start rolling in. Anyway, do a brother a favor. Head over to fucking YouTube and look up my affirmation video, Lorenzo Reed's Affirmations. Put it on repeat or some shit like that. My truck's 31 years old. Well, that's just about going to do it for this episode of Misanthrope Radio 2.0. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. Leave a review. I hear that they're important. All right. Well, until next time.